Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 and nine-month FY25 conference call hosted by Jubilant FoodWorks Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Lakshya Sharma from Jubilant FoodWorks Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Sharma.
Thank you so much, Darwin. So a very good evening, everyone, and welcome to Jubilant FoodWorks Limited Q3 and nine-month FY25 earnings call for investors and analysts. We are joined today by senior members of the management team, including our Chairman, Mr. Shyam S. Bhartia, our Co-Chairman, Mr. Hari S. Bhartia, our CEO and MD, Mr. Sameer Khetarpal, our CEO of Turkey Business, Mrs. Lan Saranga, our CFO, Ms. Suman Hegde. We will commence with key thoughts from our Co-Chairman and turn to our CEO and MD to share his perspectives. After the opening remarks from the management, the forum will be open to question and answer session. A cautionary note: some of the statements made on today's call could be forward-looking in nature, and the actual results could vary from the statement. We will also share the replay and transcript of the call on the company's website under the investor relations section. I would now like to invite Mr. Hari S. Bhartia to share his views with you. Over to you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Lakshya. Good evening, everyone. The quarter three financial year 25 was actually a really defining quarter for the company, with consolidated revenue of rupees 21.5 billion, aided by a very strong Domino's LFL growth of 12.5%. We have delivered an exceptional result in quarter three. This really demonstrates the strength of focused execution of our strategy and the unwavering commitment of our team members. Our strategic framework, built on two pillars, is yielding results ahead of the market. First, strengthening Domino's. Multiple initiatives have been taken to strengthen Domino's business. We transitioned from four to seven region structure in quarter two last year. This made our operations more agile and enhanced team performance and effectiveness. We revitalized our brand with "It Happens Only with Pizza" campaign to win on occasions and expand the pizza category. We redefined the delivery experience with the launch of 20-minute delivery and delivery fee waiver, fundamentally enhancing the value proposition of Domino's. Accelerated pace of product innovation to continuously delight our customers. These initiatives helped us achieve new peaks and deliver a great growth momentum to the business. In Turkey, Domino's continues to gain share and expand network. The second pillar is accelerating the path to profitability for emerging portfolio of brands. Coffee is on its way to become top five cafe brands in Turkey, and during the quarter, it achieved a significant milestone by becoming the first emerging brand from our portfolio to surpass the 150-store mark. In Popeyes, we expanded the network. We are equally focused on reaching the desired unit economics and payback periods. We are progressing well on our path. Even in the softer demand environment, we have continued to make investments for store growth and technology and absorb costs to deliver value to customers. We see this benefit in higher like-for-like growth in the Domino's business. With consumption picking up, we are confident of our growth journey. I'll now invite Sameer to provide a more detailed perspective on our operational performance and strategic initiatives.
Thank you, Mr. Bhartia, and good evening, everyone. Q3 indeed was a landmark quarter for our company, marked by record performance for Domino's business. This exceptional performance is a testament to focus on the ground execution of our strategy and the unwavering dedication and commitment of our teams. From our food parks and stores to our technology and delivery teams, every member of JFL family played a pivotal role in delighting the customers during the countless celebrations encompassing not limited to Diwali, Christmas and New Year. Their commitment to excellence fuels our success and positions us for continued growth. Performance summary. This is a quarter of new highs, not only in revenue but also in same-store growth, store expansion, app traffic, app conversion, customer loyalty, new customer acquisition, and highest absolute EBITDA. Group system sales, a measure of overall consumer sales across our own and franchise network, which is primarily in Turkey, reached ₹24.1 billion, a healthy 6% increase quarter on quarter. Consolidated revenue came in at ₹21.5 billion, up 56.1% year on year. The organic growth came in at 19.4%, while the rest is on the account of DP Eurasia sales not being in the base. Standalone revenue for the first time crossed 16 billion rupees at 16.1 billion, up 18.9% year on year. Our total store network now comprises of 3,260 stores and net addition of 130 stores during the quarter, with 67 net store additions in India and 63 in international markets. Coming to India segment, Domino's India delivered an exceptional performance this quarter, achieving highest ever sales. Led by our own app, food tech capabilities, revenue surged 8.3% year on year, fueled by a very impressive 33.8% increase in orders. New customer acquisition grew by 55%, and we have also started to see the benefit of new customers repeating and compounding happening. LFL sales grew by strong 12.5% year on year, driven by strong delivery-led LFL growth of 24.7%. Mature store ADS achieved a new high of less than 86,000 rupees. I am also delighted with the enhanced pace of innovation, product innovation, and proud of how operationally complex products like Cheese Volcano are being rated very highly by customers and delivered to customers inside the stores and in their homes. During the quarter, we introduced 3 new flavors of popular cheese burst range, further enhancing our pizza credentials and cheese portfolio. Learning from US and other Domino's markets suggests a strong salience of chicken items along with the pizza. We are materially under-indexed on this salience and hence we see as a big...
Participants, please stay connected. We seem to have lost the line for the management. Please stay connected while we reconnect the line for the management. Participants, thank you for patiently holding your lines. We have the line for the management reconnected. Over to you, sir.
My sincere apologies that the line got disconnected. I'll start from where I believe we got disconnected. I'm also delighted with the enhanced pace of product innovation and proud how operationally complex products like Cheese Volcano are being rated very highly and doing very well on delivery. During the quarter, we introduced 3 new flavors of our popular cheese burst range, further enhancing the tease of cheese. Learning from US and other Domino's markets suggests a strong salience of chicken items along with pizza. We are materially under-indexed on this salience and hence we see an opportunity to unlock this platform. Like pizza, wings and other chicken feast items are shareable and add to higher ticket and customer repeats. We were patiently perfecting the customer value proposition in South India and now have launched the chicken range nationally starting at Rs. 99 along with an ATL campaign. We believe this new range will drive incremental locations and help us serve new customers. Our digital engagement continues to grow quarter on quarter with nearly 14 million monthly active users on Domino's India app. App install also saw an impressive 28.6% year-on-year growth, reaching around 12 million. To help you further appreciate the scale of our rider management platform, in December, we had 46,700 monthly active riders, which was up by 50% from last December, helping us meet high customer demand and improve delivery performance. This underscores the power of our digital platform to manage variable peak load and allowing us to deliver under 20 minutes. We are progressing well against our network guidance. We opened 60 net new stores for Domino's in India this quarter and entered 19 new cities, ending with a total network of 2139 stores, now serving customers in 466 cities. The competitive intensity continues to be strong, along with inflationary pressures. The gross margin came in at 75.1%, lower by 160 basis points year-on-year on account of higher food costs for some of our new product launches, inflation, and high competitive intensity leading to higher discounting during Diwali and big days. And increase in delivery charges as the demand for delivery costs as the demand for riders increase during peak season. Standalone EBITDA reached rupees 3.1 billion, up 10.6% year-on-year, with an EBITDA margin of 19.4%, lower by 145 basis points year-on-year and flat quarter-on-quarter. Importantly, we are getting the leverage as indicated by the pre-Ind AS 116 EBITDA at 12.4% is improved continuously since the last four quarters and is higher by 70 basis points quarter-on-quarter. While we do not separately disclose brand-wise EBITDA, we would like to mention that the like-for-like growth is providing leverage to Domino's P&L, which registered a mid-teen growth year-on-year despite free delivery and growth investments. Moving to international segment, DP Eurasia, i.e. operations in Turkey, Azerbaijan and Georgia. System sales reached 7.5 billion with Domino's Turkey contributing to 6.7 billion rupees, followed by coffee system sales at rupees 801 million. I am excited to share with you that DP Eurasia revenue crossed a milestone of rupees 5 billion for the first time, registering a strong 9.5% quarter-on-quarter growth. We believe the economy in Turkey is headed in the right direction as the government has brought down inflation from 64.9% a year back to 42%. However, this has also led to lower wage revisions. In high inflationary environment, wage revisions trigger an immediate consumption boost. Despite these headwinds, the team in Turkey delivered competitive growth. Domino's Turkey like-for-like sales came at minus 3.2% on a base of 18.9% LFL, which was same quarter last year. Coffee like-for-like sales grew at minus 2.6%, and last year this same quarter was at 27.7. Basically, high basis explain negative LFL. For the 9-month period, DP Eurasia revenue reached 14.3 billion with an EBITDA margin of 23% and PAT margin of 7.2%. We have achieved a significant turnaround in Sri Lanka with record revenue of rupees 213 million in Q3. Up 65.4% year-on-year. The strong performance is entirely driven by same-store growth as we have strategically paused network expansion to focus on optimizing the existing store. key initiatives such as store relocation, exciting new product launches, and focus on local store marketing and campaigns have fueled this impressive growth. We also went on TV for the first time. In Bangladesh, the revenue was 173 million in Q3, up 38.6 year-on-year, scaling to a new record. For the first 9 months, consolidated revenue came in at rupees 60.4 billion, up 48% with an EBITDA of rupees 11.8 billion, up 42% year-on-year, translating to an EBITDA margin of 19.6%. In closing, we are delighted with our Q3 performance, which has helped us elevate the YTD trajectory of the business and remain focused on technology, delivery innovation in food, and winning store by store, pizza by pizza. We believe single-minded focus on having technology and fast delivery capabilities are contributing to ahead of market performance. These are strategic moats for us. We will continue to invest ahead of the curve, and we see momentum build from Q2 to Q3 and Q4. As new acquired consumers begin to compound and come back to buy more, and frequency has also improved. With that, I request the moderator to commence the Q&A session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from Tejas Shah from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sameer. Hi, team. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a good set of numbers. Sameer, the first question is, our delivery is gaining traction and then doing phenomenally well. But despite the multiple interventions that you would have done in last few quarters on dine-in, that isn't responding as expected. So any insights on that, any challenges or competitive landscape which is different from delivery here?
Yeah, no, I think I will not say it is not responding. It is actually responding. Our in-store lunch average weekly orders are highest in the last 2.5 years. So as you would recall, we have launched a 99 rupee 4-course meal available only inside the stores during lunch hours. And there are many stores where I get customers line up to get it. And after 3 p.m., there is a little bit of a pushback from customers why it is not available post 3 p.m. So if you look at our on-premise sales, there are two components. Customers who come in to eat, get their pizza, sit down, and then leave. And there are customers who come in and do a takeaway. The takeaway channel or the customer coming in for takeaway, that has actually moved to completely delivery, understandably so, since delivery is free. As the basis gets corrected, we are very confident delivery will also, or the dine-in will also improve. In fact, the store experience, the new store that have come in with higher quality of material, focus on store experience, greetings, all that is paying off. We see it in our numbers. I think it's a matter of quarter or two, you'll also start seeing it.
Sure, very clear. And second and last, the LFL and margin relation here. So LFL recovery, just wanted to understand, is there a technical angle also here from here on? As most of our split stores, which were not part of LFL club for last 2-3 years, must be returning, and those are usually good locations which got split. So, and hence we are seeing very sharp recovery in LFL, but commensurate margin expansion is not happening because of, or there are any other reasons, because we expected with this LFL much higher margins in this quarter.
Yeah, no, I think the overall demand scenario is muted, right? So I think with that, we have taken 4 conscious calls to expand ahead of the market to get market share and acquire new customers. Now these four interventions are following. Firstly, give more food through cheese burst and volcano pizza to customers. So therefore we are engaging on with Gen Z's and we are acquiring new customers. Second intervention was to increase our marketing investments in fixed advertising above the line investments. Third is the we don't want to lose share on aggregator platforms, and therefore we are matching the competitive discount that is happening on that platform. And fourth is free delivery, right? And partly we've recovered through packaging charges and internal tightening. So all these four are very conscious choices, right? And it is investment for growth and investment for new customer that we are acquiring. At any time, I think we are very easy to kind of dial bit down and let that flow. But I want to assure you, Domino's P&L is actually getting the leverage, maybe slightly lower than what we would like, but these are all investments for growth, and you'll see compounding happening and just flowing to the bottom lines. We are very clear about how and when this flows to bottom line.
Yeah, and if I may squeeze in one last, Popeye, four store addition in a festive quarter looks underwhelming. So any plan of scaling up there?
Yeah, so I think we've drawn up a list of top 100 locations, and it is a matter of finding those locations. So let me assure you, the average daily sales for Popeyes is improving. Margins are improving. CapEx is actually materially low from where we started. I think it's just we don't want to, because look, getting the location is a one-way door, right? If you get a wrong location, then you have to like live with it for a long time, and therefore we can open 100 stores as long as we get those 100 locations. And some of the locations like that we opened, like Pacific Tagore Garden, right in Delhi, right? These are testimony of that these outstanding locations, and these stores are exceeding our expectations.
Perfect. Well, very, very comforting. Thanks and all the best for coming quarters.
Thank you. Thank you, Tejas.
Thank you. Next question is from Jignanshu Gore from Bernstein. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sameer. Congratulations on a strong quarter. I think I had one question on the gross margin. So what has contributed to that, and do you expect improvement in gross margin as we go forward, either in the form of price increases or in terms of premiumization of in-store customers? So how would you think about that?
Yeah, I think internally we have targeting a 100 basis point improvement of gross margin, right? In the next 2 to 3 quarters, right? That's what we are planning to do. There are named initiatives on correction of wastages, on correction of the other like packaging material, etc. So there are multiple initiatives on that one. We're also seeing where we can tighten the discounts, right? And so definitely it should improve, in my opinion. The reason is very simple on gross margin, actually. It is, we didn't want to lose share. In fact, we have gained share, as you can see from the numbers. And it's a very conscious choice. And then part of it is also delivery, because there is a base, you're probably comparing quarter on quarter, but there is this period generally has more discounting, right? Because everybody is on air, they're giving deals. So part of it is festive period also, which should go away starting obviously January.
Okay, fair. Okay. I think second question was in a way similar to the previous one on Popeye, right? That we had a medium-term target for 250. So is it fair to say we are figuring out our product market fit there, or do you think what driver are you looking for to determine that this is now a growth story versus still trying to find where our positioning within the QSR space?
No, I think to me, there is definitely no challenge on customer value proposition, product market fit. I think there is a huge headroom driven by one large competitor in this space. So I think it's a
it is purely about execution. So India is a 70% chicken eating market. We started in South, and therefore that's the right place to start. That's where the densest of the market and highest ADS per store is there. We are present in Kerala, Tamil Nadu, Karnataka, Telangana. These are the right places to be in. We've come to NCR. We are looking to launch in Mumbai. So it is about finding the right location. We fixed a lot of unit economics in the last 3 or 4 months. We expanded the team. I have already put in a team that will carry me from here to 1,000 crores. So absolutely no bearishness on the outlook for Popeyes. We just have to find the right location. That's all. And if we find 20 right locations, we'll build 20 stores. And we are in several such discussions with all the right properties that we want.
Okay, fair. Are you looking at Popeyes also as a largely delivery-led model, or do you think dine-in is where that will be focused on?
See, the learning from rest of the world and Domino's is that on high street, when I look at some of the great competitive brands who are more dine-in focused, their dine-in or on-premise business is declining.
Hmm.
And delivery tailwinds are universal and worldwide. So what we've done, we have refitted our store size to about 1,200 square feet on high street. As you know, we have our own app. Our own app salience is growing. And like Domino's, we deliver Popeyes.
Okay.
So we are building the business. So delivery will grow, right? That's a universal truth. So we have to be present in the right locations in malls where there are footfalls. And we have to be in the right locations with the right CapEx model, delivery-led stores in high street. And both, we know how to do it. And second one is a Domino's playbook, and we are shamelessly copying over there.
Okay, fair. I'll let me circle back for more. Thank you so much, Samir.
Thank you, Himanshu.
All the best. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from Arnab Mitra from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Samir and team, and again, congratulations on a great set of numbers. Now that we've seen good evidence of your strategies working out in terms of consumer traction, would it be reasonable to expect these levels of LFL to sustain going ahead, or are there some base effects and other things which we should be cognizant of in terms of how we expect this to move ahead? And also a linked question to this is, as you rightly said, you've invested a lot to get this growth. Would you want to like dial back that investment a little bit, focus on margins, and therefore that could be a reason why the LFL could be a tad lower than what you've delivered this quarter going ahead?
No, I think all sets of great questions. Right, that's a constant balancing act we have to do as operators of the business, right? And when we realize the like-for-like growth for the entire industry is tanking, we had to look at for some self-help measures, and we went all guns blazing, right? And now we're seeing that growth. We are now balancing in terms of margin should also flow in. We should get the leverage, and trust me, the teams are focused on it. In terms of momentum, right, we've put a lot of fuel into the engine. So it is growing. We do see growth momentum continue from Q2 to Q3 and Q4, right? So from that perspective, I feel very good about the growth story. Margin story, we will correct. Like I said, I don't really worry on it. What will happen in Q1, Q2, Q3, right? Some could be a base effect, but I don't think, because delivery growth year on year is not a base effect, right? The way some of the stores, even after splitting, we see they are coming back, getting into nearly 50 odd new cities in last 3 quarters is not a base effect. And in fact, I feel good about this. And this absolute profit is increasing, right? So it is not that absolute profit is coming down. So our EBITDA, standalone EBITDA grew by almost 11%, right? Despite investments in new brands. So underlying business remains healthy. Margins, we can always come in, but I don't want to take off the put off the pedal on growth. as the momentum picks up, I know this will flow through into the bottom line.
Thanks for that detailed reply. My second question was more of a bookkeeping question. So this gap, we have seen a gap in the sequential trend in the pre-Ind AS and the post-Ind AS EBITDA margin. Could you just help me understand what has driven the trajectory change, and is it going to continue going ahead given how the accounting works, or this should like start converging, the trajectory, the direction should also start converging?
Hi, Arnav, Suman here. Let me take that question. No, so it is actually a very bookkeeping accounting point of view, right? We do understand in pre-Ind AS 116, the rental costs are above the line. And rent costs are not increasing in line with the kind of growth we are seeing. So if you look at the differential, it's predominantly all coming from the leverage impact that we are not seeing in the post-Ind AS numbers on account of rent leverage coming through in the P&L. It's 100% that itself, right? So if you ask me my view, if these kind of growths continue, which is growth ahead of rental growth in the market, which at this point in time is lower than where our trajectory on growth is, these won't be, you know, we might see some of these headwinds going forward as well. Difficult to predict, of course, because it is an equation between two growth numbers. But this is a normative headwind. And hence, as a business, we focus more on the operational EBITDA, which is the pre-Ind AS number. Because I think that's the right metric to chase.
Sure, that's very clear. Thanks, that's it from my side. All the best.
Thank you. Next question is from Percy Panthaki from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I just wanted to understand in the India business, what is the YOY decline in the average bill value, and how much of this is due to the delivery charge waiver, and how much of it is due to downtrading or any other impact?
Yeah. So I think it is, we don't disclose the average ticket size. It is fair to assume the entire decline is through delivery charges, partially offset by packaging charges. So so the Domino's India revenue grew by 18% and the order grew by 34%. Right? That should give you some indication. It is largely delivery, right? But it is also leading to 55% new customer growth. Right? I think you have to look at these three in tandem, and this one customer acquired eats pizza three times in a year. So that compounding we are seeing in our like numbers, because now this is the fourth quarter of free delivery. So the customers that we acquired in Q1 of this quarter, now are we seeing that those coming three times in a year? The answer to that is yes. So therefore, I'm very confident about this investment, and that to me will give us the real leverage.
Okay, so the AOV decline is only because of the delivery charge waivers. There is no downtrading, and there could be a third reason. There could be additional discounting in addition to delivery charge. So is that also one of the reasons, because 19 versus 34, that differential is quite huge?
Yeah, so I think it is there, but not too much. So it is largely delivery led, and that is the only reason. We also had a So what is downtrading, right? So typically we used to define downtrading. If a customer eating a medium pizza goes to a regular pizza, and a regular pizza goes to a Pizza Mania, right? So that's how we define downtrading. On the reverse, we're actually seeing increased salience of core pizza ranges, right? Moving up, customers are moving away from Pizza Mania, right? And free delivery allows them to order more. And which we want customers to order more. If one pizza is over, they want to get another pizza. It breaks the shackle of ordering more. So I think it is largely an account of free delivery.
Got it. And if I look at it sequentially, that is 2Q versus 3Q. In 2Q itself, this year, was the delivery charge completely waived off, or it was only partial, and only in 3Q you have had the full impact of delivery charge waive off?
No, it was waived off during IPL last year, which was end of March 2024. So we are almost nearing the anniversary of it. So Q2 to Q3, the delivery charges have been the same.
Okay, so the sequential decline in gross margin of 100 basis points is mainly because of additional discounting and inflation, and got nothing to do with any other factor.
That's right.
Okay.
That's
understood.
It's basically that we invested in cheese, right? That's what we are saying, like, because we gave more cheese per product, and that is the lever that we always have, right? So we can always reduce the discount on those products.
Understood. Secondly, I wanted to just touch upon international, in the sense that if I do a console minus standalone net profit, it is about 9 crore for the quarter and about 29-30 crore for 9 months put together. So that's the 30 crore is about the net addition from the international business post the funding cost of the acquisition, etc., etc. So how do we look at this number going ahead into FY26? Should we like grow it largely in line with the international top line, or is it going to have some other drivers in addition to that?
No, there are no drivers. In fact, the 9 month numbers will give you an indicator of how strong the business is. We don't see any surprises over there. In fact, teams are working in this environment to have a better operating cycle and release cash from the system. We've said that by second half of calendar year, ideally they should also give some dividend to us. So I think there is absolutely nothing over there, but I'll let Suman give you more specifics.
Hi, Percy. So, okay. Yeah. So just on the international business, you're right. I think in quarter three, we have seen a bit of a aberration there. Now, we need to understand, I think you do, Turkey goes through hyperinflation accounting, right? So there are a lot of inflation adjustment accounting entries which happen. So quarter on quarter, we will see some variance, right? And hence Sameer alluded to the 9 month numbers, which is more representative on how the underlying performance of that business is. So full year, like you asked, it will be more in line with the revenue growth which will come through, how you should estimate the profit growth to happen. No margins, of course, there could be slight improvement or flattish numbers. We're not estimating any declining margins coming through. But because of the nature of the business and the volatility in the accounting standards within Turkey, quarter on quarter, we might see some aberrations.
Even 9 months basis is about 30 crore difference between standalone and console net profit. So this is a tad lower than what we would have expected a year ago at the time of the acquisition, right?
No, it is not actually lower than what we had expected at the time of the acquisition. Still, if you look at Turkey from a PAT margin perspective, it is highly accretive to where India's standalone margins are. And that continues to be the case. Of course, we saw a bit of an aberration on Bangladesh business because of, you know, where the improvement was being seen in the overall profitability, which took a hit because of the disruption on the ground. But if I look at Sri Lanka, that has improved its margin status, and even Turkey is holding on or just getting slightly depressed on the PAT, at a PAT level, right? So full year, we should not see any deviation on that. And as well, in fact, it's doing better than what we were expecting in terms of expectations. The economy is strengthening. The business underlying metrics are improving, be it in terms of their inventory levels, which is ensuring that they don't have a higher cost coming out when, you know, the inflation accounting comes in next month in P&L. Their interest costs are coming down. Their debt overall is reducing. So healthy shape of the business as the economy also recovers there. But yes, there will be variations quarter on quarter, which we can explain to you offline on how it works. No real reason of concern.
Yeah, I think that in summary, the Turkey business case is ahead of plan, right? So I think the performance is ahead of the plan what we had in this last time.
Got it, sir. Thank you very much. That's it from me and all the best.
Thank you, Percy.
Thank you. The next question is from Aditya Soman from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. So just one question from me. In your presentation, in the sort of mature stores number, that's actually dropped for the last two quarters. So is this a function of just higher store splits?
I think you are, at least when you look at the mature stores, it is, I don't know which, maybe you are referring to last, like, it is 85,959 in Q3 2025, and last quarter was 79,467.
No, not the ADS, the number of mature stores. So the number of mature stores compared with what you reported in 2Q and then 2Q compared with what you reported in 1Q, each quarter there's been a sequential decline in the number of mature stores.
Yes, Aditya, it always happened In quarter one, we have the highest number of store count. It progressively comes down by quarter four. In quarter one, again, of FY26, you will see a higher store count.
Understand. So the we'll just see that jump, and that would lead to ADS coming down again, or because last two years,
these are very small store numbers. As we've reduced the number of store splits, the impact of reduction in the restaurant base from 1610 to 1591 is not material.
So we are not seeing like a ADS drop.
Understand, right? Mm-hmm. So there should be no change in that ADS number also, right? Next year, when we see a bigger jump in the mature store, that ADS should also continue growing. Because
I think the
ADS drop.
Yeah. I think the ADS is rock solid. New stores are opening at a higher higher ADSs than ever before. So I'm not worried on that metric. It's more accounting how what you include in a mature store or not. And we'll probably next time onwards we'll give you a better footnote on the quarter on quarter mature store ADS drop also, so that the calculation is very clear.
Fair enough. Thank you very much. That's okay.
Thank you. Next question is from Devanshu Bansal from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a very good LFL pickup. Sir, your aggression and market share gain is obviously not a good news for smaller competition that sort of popped up over the last few years. I just want to check your views on continuation of this aggressive strategy of yours, and are we also sort of seeing initial signs of consolidation in the marketplace?
Yeah, no, I think I would say what we control is our investments, our actions, and every company wants to grow market share, right? So I think with that, I don't want to step away from driving growth, because growth is the best help that you can give to the business and also in terms of margins and cash ultimately. So in terms of competition, see, this is how I see it when I just remove myself from my current position. The growth is definitely muted, right? For the industry and listed players and the large players, to me, are actually doing better than some of the unlisted and smaller medium chains. There is a big question mark on dark stores. Right? So I do expect with this kind of an environment, business moving largely towards delivery and competition of speed, whatever 10-minute, 20-minute delivery increasing, some of these business models are under threat. But that might more take as somebody who works in this industry. And that consolidation opportunity to me is sooner than later.
Understood, sir. Very clear. Sir, second and last question, I sort of wanted to build on Percy's question. The difference between order growth and revenue growth in Domino's has increased over the last three quarters, right? So it was 7.5% in Q1, which increased to about 12% in Q2, and now it is 15% in Q3. So what is leading to a continued drop in realizations for us? Because delivery driver impact was there in all the three quarters.
Yeah, I think it is more delivery growing faster, right? That's the only thing which is happening over there. Channel mix is moving towards delivery. One thing that you must note, when we did free delivery, we moved to minimum order value of about 200 rupees, 199 rupees. Earlier, there were higher delivery charges before 350 rupees. So we changed that purposefully. Therefore, you see the growth in new customers on account of that. That's the only thing. Otherwise, there is no downtrading happening. It's not that we are selling more pizza than any other, or we are selling one single item. The items per order is not really declining. It is largely the customers have a lesser threshold in terms of ordering. So barrier has been broken. And delivery is growing.
Just a follow-up here, because the barrier or maybe the threshold is lower. So from a margin perspective, does that sort of hamper our model, or we will still be able to sustain our margin? Because delivery cost for the order will remain same.
Yeah, no, I think this is how, see there is, to me, I see this as an investment for growth. Right now, once you are investing for growth, the question to ask is, how will you recover? Now, we recover on two fronts. One is when the compounding happens, SSG continues, right? And second is the further tightening of costs, right? So we, like I said, we have a name program on improving margin by 100 basis points. We are looking at rentals very closely. We are looking at manpower, and we are getting the leverage in manpower. Where we are not getting the leverage and there is a higher than expected headwind, it is the delivery cost. Because delivery as a channel is growing, which puts more pressure on riders, and therefore to keep the same service level of nearly 20 minutes, we are actually paying more to the riders during the festive season. So that is the only headwind which is, we'll say, which also will get corrected in my opinion as we find newer ways of working.
Understood. So just last one small question. So we have launched chicken products after sort of experimenting in the South. So I just wanted to check if you could qualitatively share what was the kind of ADS pickup for these products that we sort of saw in the South region, which gave us sort of confidence to sort of launch it in India.
Yeah, I think I'll tell you what was the thesis and give us like time till this quarter, because we went on air only 10 days ago. With the first time like Domino's coming out and ATL campaign focused on chicken feast. So this is how we see our data. Among the world and also in India, North India has the highest weekly sales of stores. Yet our share in pizza category on aggregator is lower. Versus South, where the throughput per store is lower than the North, but the share is higher. So that explains that the customers are looking for other products along with pizzas, or they are not eating pizzas as much as they probably eat in North. And that is the insight once we do. They are looking for more non-vegetarian options. They are looking for more bone-in chicken, therefore we launch wings. They are looking for rice along with chicken, therefore we launch chicken meals. They are looking for crunchy non-veg bites, therefore we launch poppers and boneless wings. So I think we heard the consumer, we experimented. Actually, South is after the launch has become the fastest growing, or one of the faster growing regions among the 7 regions that we have.
Understood, sir. Very clear. Thanks for taking my question.
Thank you. Next question is from Latika Chopra from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Samir and team. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question was, your new customer growth is fairly strong.
Latika, we can't really hear you very clearly. If you're on a hands-free, request you to use the handset.
Is it better? I'm
slightly better, Latika. If you can just speak louder and maybe a little slowly, we'll try and catch you what you're saying.
Sure. Thanks, Samir. So my first question was around, new city additions. You have added almost 60 cities over the last 4 quarters, and you have added this year in 9 months almost, 145 new Domino stores. I'm just trying to understand how many more cities potential you see to expand into, and how does that feed into your store addition ambition, on an annualized basis over the next 3-4 years? Yeah, considering you're moving more towards pre-focused kind of, unit.
Yeah. So I think firstly, we are seeing opportunity on both, right? And I quote this example a lot. When I joined a couple of years ago, we had about 30-odd stores in Gurgaon. We are now reaching nearly 50, and we believe we can add another 20 more, right? So densification, as cities expand, as new shopping areas, new congregation points like movie halls and other things come up, there is always more opportunity, including metro stations and highways, etc. So firstly, we are seeing tremendous opportunity in the city where we are fully covering, like Gurgaon. Secondly, there are cities like Ahmedabad where we don't cover the full city. There are enough white spaces, and these are not only restricted to Ahmedabad, it is in Lucknow and Kanpur also. And then the third piece is new cities, which is whether it's a Giridi or a Sasaram or a Badaun or a Latur, right? So I think definitely we see more and more opportunity of those We are present in nearly 500. We believe there are 500 other cities that we can get to. And we are still present in the biggest, like what the district center, right? And these are, some of these districts are like more than 7, 8, 10 lakh population. We have not gone to the biggest taluka, right, over there. So for context, KFC in China is present in 10,000 cities. Sorry, 1,000 cities, my bad. 1,000 cities. So there is definitely room to get to more.
And Sameer, is it any sense, you know, I don't know how you cut it, whether, you know, the salience of top 20 cities in your revenue mix, how has that behaved over the last 5 years for you? Has that materially changed? If you can share some color on that. And also in terms of profitability metrics across cities, new cities are not margin diluted for you necessarily.
They're accretive, actually, slightly accretive in percentage terms, lower in absolute profit because their costs are also lower. Dine-in takeaway is higher in these cities. Delivery salience is lower. So, but throughput is lower. So we are, I think the best question to ask is the payback period lower in these cities, right? So the answer is no. So we continue to maintain 2, 2.5 years of payback period. As long as that is coming, I think that's the mother metric that we chase.
And salience of larger cities, anything that you have to share? How you try?
No, I think it is, I think we are expanding, again, like how we run our new business, like I said, for Popeyes. Same thing the team from Domino's have done. They have a list of 1,000 stores that they want to open, whatever, in the next 3, 4, 5 year time frame, right? So as long as they get those locations, they will continue to open. So these 1,000 locations are, some of them are in places like dense like Gurgaon and Goregaon, and some of these are in Badaun and Latur and Giridhar of the world. So wherever we find the right location, we'll open the store.
Sure. And the second thing that I wanted to check was an aggregator salience, you know, in delivery mix now, because you talked about more promotions on this channel, on these platforms, as you wanted to grab more share. But at the same time, your own app metrics are also fairly healthy. So could you give us some color on how this mix is trending and what kind of differentiation is there in terms of profitability mix between own versus aggregator platform? Thank you.
Yeah, nothing. I will not answer that question because I am here to serve customers.
The person you are speaking with has put you.
Yeah, Latika, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Sorry. So we refrain from giving mixes. Having said that, our apps are growing very healthy. In fact, when I came in, I had put the entire engineering team just to focus on Domino's app. And as a result, we have the most immersive experience for pizza customers who are looking for pizzas. So you will see videos of pizzas. You will see easy user experience or user experience to upgrade, to add more products, add side items. It is built for pizza. And over the years, we've made it very topical. We celebrate from Valentine's Day to landing of Chandrayaan on moon, right? So we are become very topical and relevant to customers. And then the CRM, built-in CRM helps customer come back. So that piece is working out better than our expectations. And like I said, aggregators, we see them as ecosystem partners. We see them great, terrific channel partners. And it's a very competitive landscape over there. And we work hard to maintain our share or improve our shares on aggregators. So it doesn't matter as long as we are getting customers, right? That's how I see. And delivery is a worldwide tailwind. And with our own rider fleet of 46,000 riders, a network that is ever expanding, ability to give hot pizza in 20 minutes, actually that's not the most important thing that I worry about.
Understood. Thank you so much and all the best, Amir.
Thank you, Ritika.
Thank you. Next question is from Jay Doshi from Kotak. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on great acceleration and growth. I've got two questions. The first one is, you know, in this quarter, we saw about 18% top line growth and 14% pre-Ind AS EBITDA.
Now, how should we think about the gap between revenue growth and EBITDA growth on a pre-Ind AS basis going forward over the next two, three quarters, if you continue to stay at a similar 15%+ system sales growth levels?
Internally, we look at like this in the following manner. We tease out the Domino's portfolio and see is that growing, and like we mentioned in our comments, is it in mid-teens and improving? So that's how we see that particular business. On the other business, we see the overall drag to the P&L and is the unit economics improving? So these are the trade-off factors. Allow us maybe one more quarter because let this stabilize because we launched free delivery in March. Maybe by next quarter, we'll have a much more scientific answer on that, Jay, to be. Otherwise, I'll be more hazarding a guess at the base. And we'll also do a better calculation to answer your question.
Sure. Second question is, if I do some back-of-the-envelope calculations, your dine-in order growth is about 30%, but dine-in revenues have declined by about 2%, which means that there is 25% decline in average order value for dine-in, but there is no delivery fee waiver impact or anything of that sort. And if I actually were to look at absolute number, it means your dine-in average order value may have dropped by 125 rupees or somewhere in 100-125 range. So, this incremental dine-in order that you are sort of getting, is it, even if I assume all of that is Thali or 49?
No, not like that. No, it's not like that. Thali is only 11 to 3 p.m. and it's a part. It was a business with a very low base. So that number, while it is growing healthy, right? Inside the store, you have to look at dine-in and takeaway. Customers who come in, take the pizza, eat there and leave, and customers who just come in to take the pizza to their home. So that is a takeaway business. So dine-in business is growing very healthily, and you will see improvements coming in the coming quarters on both dine-in plus takeaway as a business. And this is only the takeaway business that is kind of declining. So there is a sub-channel mix that is there between in what we call as a dine-in takeaway business. So there is no massive. In fact, the decline in, like you are saying, the decline in average ticket size inside the store is very marginal.
Okay, maybe then I'll take it offline. Thank you so much and good luck for the next call. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll take that as the last question. On behalf of Jubilant FoodWorks Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you. Thank you.